Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there, and like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm like taking pot shots at Brian Brown, because like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you. Because I
feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ah, yes. Flashing back to that one time when they made Bulldog coach. And he said some very controversial things to the players. Not exactly boosting their morale, I would say.
I'm old school. Yeah, they got to ride them hard, Mike.
Yes.
These guys today, they're so pampered. They're just worried about their name, image, and likeness money.
You would not succeed in today's game.
No.
With that sort of style.
No.
Funny to have this sort of random conversation already here after just listening to Lindy.
I was distracted. I heard Zach say,
"Oh,
Lindy,"
well,
and then I don't know what Lindy said.
There was nothing in the clip about this. Just like he is somebody,
I see. Gotcha. Yeah.
Who
yeah.
They say, you know,
they
has had to reinvent
the nameless, faceless they.
You know, he talked about it at his press conference.
Yeah.
I guess he gets, or maybe even deserves, the benefit of the doubt for that, based on his results with Jersey.
Yeah, and I feel like he's gotten positive. I mean, whatever those are worth, but like Jack Hughes, for one, like, gave him a lot of credit for helping him. I mean, that's a world-class player that probably was going to be pretty great regardless of who was coaching him, but, you know, he gave Lindy a lot of credit.
I wonder if that kind of thing gets overstated, though. It probably does, because it's just so cut and dried now. Like, everybody says the same thing.
Right.
That you can't be hard on the current players. I think maybe it makes sense. I don't know if this would apply to Jack Hughes, but I think it could. Somebody that's gotten all the adulation that a guy like that would grow coming up. And, you know, you know this better than I do. On the junior level, that's also said. You know, like, it's not just a pro thing. You know, you want a coach, right? Like, when you get to good junior hockey, any sport.
Sure.
The coach has to be a little bit not all over you, right? You want that.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I never had the benefit of having my kid be such a rock star that the road was paved, you know, in such a way. Yeah. So I don't know what the experience for a player like Jack Hughes, who's in the USNTDP, but when he's 16 or 15 years old and is just like a can't-miss prospect, those guys probably get coached differently by coaches at all levels, because they know, like, this guy's going, and I'm not going to be the guy that is like the one guy in his background that's like, oh, that man, that guy in Sioux City, I hated that guy.
That's all I mean. I guess I just want to end up at, maybe a player like that, maybe many or even most young players would, like, why would he say complimentary things about Ruff, for example? Because he was hard on him. You know, it might be counterintuitive. It might not just be because he let me do whatever.
But I take it to mean that. Yeah, like when I see or hear a young guy, if I'm going to pay any attention to it at all, because it's easy to just dismiss that stuff as what you say about a guy, you know, whatever. You don't want to look like a bad guy. But
as the player, you know, when the coach is fired.
Right. Yeah. So, but I sort of assume that, like, a guy like Jack Hughes is saying he's helped make me the guy I am, that it's not all just, you're so great. You're so great. I love that thing you did. I love that. Like, I don't think that would really help a guy get to be where Jack Hughes is.
I wonder how specific we could get Lindy to be describing coaching Vanek versus coaching Jack Hughes, right? Because that's fundamentally what that point is. And you're just, everybody agrees that you have to be less harsh, at least, if not less strict, but less harsh, maybe now. I wonder if that works. Anyway, you've waited long enough. You've waited 11 days. All through the draft. The whole draft, there's that one guy who we really appreciate you for being this way at the party. Like, what will this mean to the reverse AFC power rankings on Tuesday's show? All, even round seven, even Mr. Irrelevant. What is it going to mean to the ratings, the rankings, and our ratings? Our ratings, obviously, this is a master stroke to have invented this and made it the phenomenon that it's become. Time for, what was all that? Time for reverse AFC power rankings, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit empireelectricians.com. You have the standings up. You like that, right?
Sure. I like to try to not forget teams.
Don't want to forget teams.
So but it's not, I'm not doing the standings, but it's just it's like having the bumpers on the lane at bowling, having the standings up. Ideally, I'm not going to hit the bumpers, but you might. You never know. I mean, I'm just going
to say what that the bumpers, do they go all the way to the pins? Like the 7-pin shot, I'd like to have that assistance. If the bumper goes all the way, because you really just then you're shooting for, you've got a lot more of a target there.
I think it drops off right as you get to the pin. So if you try to just ride the rail down the edge.
No, I would never do that.
Yeah.
I'm going across.
Okay. All right.
But I have that bounce opportunity in case I just
All I'm saying is if you're right against, like, say the 7 would be on your left as you're bowling,
yes.
Right? 7-10. So if you're riding that left rail, And the ball is, like, right up against it, I think it would veer off before hitting the 7.
Who could make that shot? Yeah. Without the bumpers, who could make that shot?
My dad.
Your dad is such a bowler, a baller of a bowler, if you will.
He is a balling bowler.
He could make
We should change the subject.
He could make the 7-pin spare going right the whole way up along the left side.
I'm
do you think he could? Is that an easy shot?
I don't think that's an easy
shot. Nobody does it.
No.
Everybody goes across.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen him try it.
It's too valuable.
I've not been bowling with my dad in a while, but you know, they're still out there.
It's too big a shot. That's
right.
A huge shot.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing about my bowling over my life is when I get 9 on the first shot. And you don't make that spare, you know, you're gonna get like 80.
Right.
But if you do make the spares, you're going to be double that.
I got a better look at hitting, if there's 2 pins next to each other, I got a better chance at picking them both up than just
totally.
The single pin. The single pin is hard.
Totally an easier shot. 6-10 versus just the 10? Oh, I'd put the 6 back.
Yeah.
Put the 6 back.
I think that does affect your score, though.
Well, it's not as penal, though.
That's
it's
right.
Just 8 instead of 9, and the spare is easier.
With the spare is better.
You'd much rather have the 8.
Yeah, agreed.
Would a top bowler rather have that, though?
Hey, Zach, you want to do power rankings? I'm going to call my dad.
All right, wait a minute.
We got this.
Actually,
that's what we're going to power rank.
Let me just give up my parents' phone number on the show. And
let's
call
rank
them
the
up.
Pins.
716.
Yeah, no. I want to rank the pins. 6 o'clock Eastern. We'll rank pins.
I favor the pins on the Brooklyn side. Whatever that is.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You're not familiar with the you don't recall?
I don't know Brooklyn.
Yeah, wow. I don't know which is younger
than you.
But the bowling commentators would refer to like what was left as, or even the point of impact, as the Brooklyn side. I don't know what the other side was.
Queens.
I don't recall hearing Queens side.
Ashland.
It could be right, but the Brooklyn side, I think, is if you are a right-handed bowler and the the trajectory of your ball goes from right to left as it comes toward the pins. Mm-hmm. I think if it goes too far to the left, that's the Brooklyn side.
Okay.
I think that's what that is.
In golf, we'd be missing low.
Okay.
In that example.
Sure.
You'd be missing low.
Yeah, right.
Interesting. Might want to get back to this. I do want to know the name of the other borough on the bowling alley.
Yeah, I don't.
What are the names of the boroughs in bowling?
I don't know.
How many boroughs are in bowling?
I never heard another borough. Junior but hockey, Brooklyn side, I remember. Anyway,
bowling.
My dad.
Pin rankings.
Calling my dad.
16.
My dad's going to join the show at 4:00 today. Go over the Bills draft and bowling.
Yes.
Joining us on the Western Hotline. No, I'll stop. Where are we? 16.
Will you call him 16. Dad? Will you call him dad?
I would call my dad.
Like how when Joe Kelly is on, he calls me Uncle Bucko.
Sure.
I'm like, Joe.
Yeah.
We gotta fix this.
Yeah, my dad is only called, I think, one of these shows one time, and it was when I first started at night, like really like my first or second night. And he was listening, and he felt bad because no one was calling. So he called to try to help me out. And what happened, yeah, like 10 seconds into the call, my brain went, I didn't say it on the air, I don't think, but I went like, this is my dad.
Oh, no.
This is terrible.
I'm
getting fired. I'm not good at this. I got my dad mercy calling. Like, this is bad.
When I was younger, I would say, you know, I would refer to, like, sometimes when people would not be calling in, and then somebody would be the guy to be like, well, you said you weren't getting any callers. Yeah, right. And everybody listening knows this is going to be the least interesting call they've ever heard.
Less interesting.
Including the hosts.
Less interesting than my dad, that. Even, maybe.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. All right.
So but never say that, kids.
We are reverse ranking 16. Football teams in the American Football Conference, kids. That's what's happening here. That's what you've tuned into.
16. 16.
16.
Raiders.
Yeah, still. Sure. Yeah.
Minshew.
Yeah.
15.
Wow. That's incredible, isn't it?
It was always going to be hard, but they didn't do the heavy lifting.
Atlanta broke their backs, I think. I believe that they liked Michael Penix Jr. and were going to take him at 13 and never got the chance because Atlanta came swooping in.
They slow played it.
Yep.
And you got burned, Bert.
Yeah.
15. Denver with Knicks.
Denver.
Knicks. That tone is perfect. Yeah, it's not really that much of a positive.
Do you see this anecdote about the backpack? Like Sean Payton asked was in the backpack, and it was all football stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Sounds good.
Just what you want.
God forbid the kid have a guitar pick in there or something, like something recreational that has nothing to do with football.
I like that Mina Kimes ran with that, and she found cookies from when she went one of her recent flights, or not even that recent.
Oh, right.
She looked through her backpack, and she found like an old pack of cookies. She's like, I'd never get drafted. 14.
New England. Drake May's fun. Their roster's still kind of bad. Although I do like both their receivers. That one broke my soul when they got both Polk and Baker.
I'll take Tennessee here.
I want to give New England at least a little bit. I'm not big on Drake May at all, but they
drafted 7 offensive players.
Yeah, they did the thing. Well, they did the thing that the Raiders we just talked about didn't do. So at least they're going to try, and I don't know if Drake May's going to be any good. And I like the receivers that they grabbed too. So I want to hold off on them for a minute at least. What did you say, Tennessee?
I like Tennessee. New England drafted 7 offensive players. 2 are quarterbacks, granted.
Yeah.
Tennessee, they drafted a tackle. They just drafted stuff. Evan gave them a D+. I got the Evan Silva grades out
okay.
for this. So D+.
I'm all right with Tennessee here.
Tennessee wins it. 13. Where are we at on the Browns?
They're terrible.
Watson again, Jerry Jeudy.
I don't know if they're terrible. I feel like they're just a team.
I got to tell you, I watched a good amount of the draft. I don't recall seeing
their
They
didn't participate. They, yeah.
How many picks did they have?
Six.
Do we know? Six?
Yeah, four on Saturday.
Okay.
Basically,
no
first.
I just missed. I missed the Browns. That's what it is. If you're not in the first round,
well,
you know, Bills. That's the wall-to-wall day. Friday, I watched a lot. But I feel like I never thought about the Browns one time the 3 days of the NFL draft. That doesn't have to mean a lot, but I'm good pinning them down here.
Above the Patriots?
Yes.
That feels aggressive.
I'll say New England. I'm not ready to do that.
All right.
New England just has a long way to go.
Love the attitude, though.
Attitude. I appreciate that. Thanks.
12.
Inspired by my dad coming on later. So I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to do a good job.
Let me get my dad. See what he's up to. What do they talk about?
Is your dad bull?
No.
No. Then they probably have nothing in common.
That's it. Does your dad make rings? Your wife makes rings.
My wife is a talented artisan. Yes.
12. Pittsburgh. You know what? Good luck. Right? Russell Wilson.
I want the Browns.
Above Pittsburgh?
Above Pittsburgh.
Really, why? You'd rather be the Steelers than the Browns?
Yeah.
Because of Watson's contract?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think even play-wise, I kind of just trust one of Wilson or Fields to be better than Watson. I think I'm getting there. Like, I don't trust Deshaun Watson as a player at all.
Ever since he's been any good.
Yeah. And even when he was good, what did Houston win? I think like four games. It was a bad season. He statistically was great.
Yeah. But yeah, I
2020.
I'm not ready to think that's ever coming back at this point.
I have him on these fantasy teams, and I'm just stuck because nobody wants him. Like, you can't trade Watson.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Browns know this, you can't trade Watson. Nobody wants him, but you're a little bit afraid to let go.
Right, because he has been great. It's just, you know.
Like, am I going to start?
It's like half a career ago already.
Not knowing the schedule, week one, if my quarterbacks in fantasy are Deshaun Watson and Jaden Daniels, and Daniels starts, who am I? I'm probably starting Watson just to see what they both look like.
Mm-hmm.
But so you're kind of stuck there. And I decided when he came back, I was going to bet on him because I thought the absence would just be what it was, and he would come back and look sharp, and he did not. So Cleveland won that one, 12?
Yeah.
11?
I'm all right with Pittsburgh. Next.
I'm committed to Pittsburgh there.
Yeah.
10?
Jacksonville?
Sure. Brian Thomas. Zay Jones.
He's available.
On the market. We'll talk about that. After your dad's visits.
Sure.
9?
Jets?
Chargers.
Yeah, Chargers here.
Why? Sorry, I just thought it'd be funny to like aggressively
ask
why. I kind
of love that the Jets like didn't make the Jet move of like we're going to trade up and go get Rumadunze, even though our offensive line is terrible. Like it felt like smarter heads prevailed and they're like, we'll take the least sexy pick. And I don't know. That is character development.
What are they
for me.
Doing drafting two running backs?
I don't know.
I didn't say they were perfect.
They already had Breece Hall and they still have the Carter guy, right?
No, Carter went to Arizona, but they had Abanaconda.
Okay.
Who they must hate.
Yeah.
He was a mid-round pick last year, maybe even day two. I think day three. Maybe even day two. Which was, why did they do that?
Right.
And then they signed Dalvin Cook, of course. They had to have that.
Yeah, that was swift.
I mean, the Jets probably have a really good roster at this point. After a good draft, C+ from Evan. Mike Tanier liked it. Because they didn't mess it up. But they have Aaron Rodgers, and it depends on what you think he'll be. I kind of think he'll probably be good. So I respect them. Chargers for me, and that's the vote. Chargers get the vote at 9. 8.
I am not betting on Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's going to be good. It's not as long as Deshaun Watson, but his MVP caliber season is another year gone by. The last time he played a whole year was one of the most down years of his career, which was still really good. It might be good enough for the Jets even to, you know, win 9 or 10 games. I don't know. I think there's so much fireball potential there. The Jets, they could just burn. I want the Jets here. Do I have any company? Can I get a vote on the Jets?
I think I have to agree. The next team for me would be the Colts. And the Colts got a very exciting edge rusher in the first round. And they got A.D. Mitchell in the second, which, say what you want, that's a pretty good price.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they did all right. I think I have to say the Jets here. I don't know who else I would go with.
Well, Jets, Colts, then.
Colts or Miami. How well did Miami do? Chop Robinson, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to dock some points for Indianapolis after Chris Ballard went out like on like a swearing tangent because A.D. Mitchell like apparently didn't have character issues.
Yeah, I do hate that kind of revenge sort of. It's some of these guys talk about the media like they have no idea what the media is there for. Like just sort of how it works. They just sound completely ignorant to the whole point. Like sort of see the whole board.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, defend your guy. Sure, I'm sure Colts fans probably all got tattoos of the entire speech. That's our GM. Indy then?
Yeah, sure. After the Jets. Yeah, so Jets, seven, Colts.
So six, Dolphins?
Yes.
Five, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
3 weeks in a row. Or three, it actually is 3 weeks. Three rankings in a row. Four,
Bengals.
Are they going to lose one of Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins, or are they going to just keep both of them? Like,
I don't know.
I'm so confused on where that's at.
The Higgins, the way that unfolded last week with Schefter sort of re-upping the Higgins trade thing was just, the whole thing was odd. Well, at least that part of it was odd. I mean, the other part was just a report about Hendrickson asking to be traded. I would expect at least one of them to be moved. You're going to play hardball with everybody.
Are we saying Cincinnati?
Yes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Three. Houston?
Yes.
Two Ravens. One Chiefs?
Yep. Sounds good.
That's how it has to be.
Here it is, sir, buddy.
Well, I feel good about it.
Not a lot of movement. You know, Bo Nix didn't really save Denver in the power rankings.
No.
Drake May didn't really save New England. But they both fan bases can be optimistic. I think, you know, this is an exciting time for the Patriots. I think it's more doable to invest emotionally in Drake May than it was ever for Mac Jones. You know, like there was just never a ceiling for Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy maybe has a lower floor, but definitely has a higher ceiling. And you're going to be patient. It's been a few years since they've been any good. So you're able to sort of settle in.
They're kind of really finally starting
new
over.
New coach.
Like you're really starting over. An era ended when Brady left and then Newton and then eventually Mac Jones. But it's still Belichick and it still was like, you know, we should get back to where we were. We've got this great coach and it just didn't work. Now it's like clean slate. That's why I do like, even though I'm not really big on May, I like how they look right now. They've got a new quarterback and two new toys for him to throw the ball to, and like, okay.
803-0550, what do we miss? Also, we invite your comments on the weekend, the draft, and everything like we talked about throughout yesterday's show. Your thoughts are welcome on how you think the Bills did. And it's definitely been a pretty wide range. I mean, really, we heard everything yesterday. We heard everything is fine, and we heard a couple of people in particular just like they almost sounded like they were going to run out of breath, ripping them. That might have been you at one point. No, that wasn't you. It was a caller. I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't feel like I was particularly aggressive yesterday.
Breathless with anger.
Yeah.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We'll come back, look for your calls, and talk some more here on WGR.
He does love the process. He likes the mock draft. I swear the guy's done 200 mock drafts, and he'll send me what his final tally of our draft was. Hey, Bean, I traded next year's two, but with that, I got us, you know, these guys. And you look at it, and the first four picks are all, like, guys that we have in the top 50 on our board. Like, Josh, it's not real, you know, reality. But I love that he loves it, and it's fun. And listen, we'd be stupid not to hear some of his thoughts on things.
That is an interesting clip, I think. Brandon Bean on Pat McAfee on Josh Allen and, you know, a hobby or an obsession that many of us share. You know, I can believe Allen is that way. I have no problem believing Bean in this.
I mean, if you know, the average football fan out there, I don't know what percentage of them really digs into this process, the mock drafts and all the scouting reports and all the stuff, I feel like it's, you know, it's a significant enough portion of our audience anyway that we spend a lot of time on it. If you're in it and, you know, you're the quarterback of the team, I could see an argument for I don't want to be bothered with a thing that is not my job. But recreationally, like, it would be really interesting. You know, it's like some version of Madden, you know? Like, I'm the quarterback of this team. Let me see who I can get on my team. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it again. I get that.
It's interesting maybe that Bean slipped in how in their conversations or in the texts, Allen had him trading next year's second-round pick. Didn't a lot of us have that?
Yes.
Couldn't it have happened?
Yes.
The Bills made the choice not to do that.
I'm almost surprised it didn't.
And then the kind of the bottom line from Bean is Allen's made these mock trades and he's got a few good players on the team. And Bean is like, no, that's not realistic. And everybody laughs. Damn right it's realistic. I mean, I've been saying forever, use the consensus boards. The people who do this are very sophisticated. There's not a more idiotic take in all of sports than, well, if you knew so much, you'd be the general manager. No, most of these people, or at least many, are as good at it as the teams are, and maybe better, because they are not beholden to certain realities that the teams are, which, you know, they are working in reality, so, I mean, we have to sort all that out. But I'm just saying, I've said and written it for more than 10 years, the consensus mock drafts are better than individual teams are at this, and that should be respected. And it's interesting, there's a narrative or a discussion today. Nick Wright And like the Eagles and the Ravens, these teams that always get all the credit for how well they draft. And it's because part of it is because they align with the mock drafts out in the media. And they're using the value charts and they're taking advantage of that. And they're doing sort of these obvious things that teams often don't. So, I don't know, like that can, basically that confirms your bias. If you respect all of that information, this will be, well, look how these teams do the very same thing and they get A's every year and they win all the time. So why shouldn't every team do it? But then there's, well, you know, if you're just going to, if you're coming from a place where you respect these mock drafts, of course you're going to think that the teams that their drafts look the most like the consensus mock drafts are going to be the best. You know, you can go back and forth. But I think it's, you know, Bean is often very forthcoming, and here today he is saying something interesting. We know that Allen has a voice and an important, to say the very least, role in the organization. Should he be heard? Probably.
Absolutely should be heard. I don't think there's any question about it. And he should be made to feel, I think, as though he's not being patronized. But there has to be a line there. Like there's a boundary where it's, you know, you're not just going to do the thing that he wants you to do if it doesn't make sense. But I think you want to facilitate an open line of communication with a guy that's that important. And he's the most important guy in the organization.
I wonder just how unrealistic, though, his mock trades really would be. Why would you ever, if you cared about it a lot, you would know you would have the value chart on your laptop as you were making these trades, or whatever app you're using is doing that for you. They're probably not, you know, he's probably not trading 3/5 to move into the first round, I'm saying. Allen and his mock drafts.
No, that's probably right. I think maybe what Bean might consider the most unrealistic is finding enough trade partners to make that many trades down to get 4 players in the top 50 or whatever it is.
I don't know.
I think that sort of reminds me of when we used to fool around. I know this is like generations ago now, at least of the technology, but firstpick.com was just like trade down, trade down. You just trade down all day long, and like that always kind of bothered me about it.
Yes, those trades sometimes would be pretty kooky, but Bean himself just did it twice.
Yep.
And I think the most disappointing thing about this draft is that they did not trade pick 33, because that was so much of what I liked about what they did Thursday, is now you have all day to get your best offer for 33. And they ended up not doing that. Maybe they felt like they were pushing their luck with, you know, public reaction and picking a guy who might have gone, you know, 10 or 20 picks later. You never know. Dan is with us. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say real quick, I think the Bills made the right choice to trade down and get Coleman. I did not want Xavier Worthy. I believe a guy 165 pounds. I know he's fast, but has there ever been a great receiver at 165 in the NFL?
The argument for Worthy is a couple of guys, if they're not more than this many, recently who have been great despite being slight, and that's Devontae Smith and Tank Dell. I think there was someone else I heard mentioned in this camp too, but
and I don't know if those guys are 107. Like they're light. I know they're light, but I don't remember. I don't have their height and weight memorized. I just know they're light. So to answer your question, I don't know if those guys are successful and they weigh 165 pounds.
Smith lists at 6'1", 170.
Okay, yeah, so I mean it's close, but
I just think, when it comes down to cold weather, playoff time, you definitely need a big guy on the outside. This guy, I believe Coleman ran the fastest. I know he's not a fast runner, 4.6, but he ran the fastest gauntlet running side catching the ball. And I just think that when it comes down to playoff time and you needed a big body to replace Gabriel Davis, and I just think in the long run, he's only 20 years old. It might take a couple years to gel. And I just think in the long run, the bigger guy is the smarter move.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Tank Dell, by the way, a good rookie season cut short by injury. 5'10", 165 is what he is listed at. Chris is next. Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome.
I just want to talk a little bit about our old nemesis, Tom Brady. When we take a look at their quarterback room for many, many years, and he's won 6 Super Bowls, I just went on CBS Sport just to look at some of the names. And after you get past Gronkowski and Randy Moss and Wes Walker and Julie Edelman, then you start looking at David Patton, David Gibbons, Kevin Falk, names that you don't really think about as being, you know, premier number ones. But what Tom did for many, many years was take what defense gave him, which made it so difficult for defensive coordinators to really game plan for him. Because, like, when Allen threw those 8 different receivers against Miami, there's no way they can protect 8 different receivers with 2 or 3 really good cornerbacks. So you start, you know, showing the weaknesses. And I think Allen kind of alluded to that with his conversation where he said, I kind of like being able to spread the ball around and not have to throw it to one person all the time. So that's just my kind of thought that I'm hoping that, you know, we look at our old team that we had a struggle for 21 years with the Patriots just having success after success. And maybe this is what Allen needs, is the ability to spread the ball around and you know, have good receivers and not true number ones. I don't know. That's my hope.
The one thing about this position that I can't get with is, and Allen himself was talking about this last week, and I think it was just like unfortunate, this idea that because Diggs was so outstanding, that basically Josh Allen's job was just throwing the ball to Stephon Diggs. When not only did the entire time Diggs was on the team, everybody, Allen, Dable, Dorsey, McDermott, everybody talked about his growth in going through progressions and making the right reads. It amounted to huge seasons for Diggs, but Diggs was so good at getting open and such a valuable piece that that's just a natural byproduct of that. Like, this is a little bit like, well, we don't need him because having more guys is better. And it's just not. Like, it's just not better. And the Patriots example might be okay, but they also, the guys that you sort of wrote off at the beginning are all-time greats.
Right, and how often did Brady play without at least one of them?
He took Gronk to Tampa and won. I mean, right. Of course, if you're going to play 20 years, you're going to have a lot of receivers that do not look like they were elite players, but I can't get to a conclusion here that the Bills offense is better, or that Josh Allen is better off replacing Stephon Diggs with Curtis Samuel and Gabe Davis with Keon Coleman. Like, I don't think they're better off. And I just do not accept that, okay, now I can actually, you know, first read, second read. No, not only do we know that was already happening for years, they said it. But now it's a little bit more, just like Allen was spinning late in the season, sometimes they take your number one guy away. And we saw that wasn't really happening. Diggs was not, they were not going to him as much, which probably pissed him off, you know, like, and the year before. So it's nice that, you know, we get Josh Allen and other people in the organization to do interviews, but you got to fact check them. Somebody should fact check them. And that's not exactly, the caller's not just chapter and verse with Allen.
Yeah. I mean, the caller, like any Bills fan, I think, is hoping he's right, hoping that works. And, like, I hope it works, too. You're going to have to show me that you're better. Like, the idea of just not having a go-to guy, I think, sounds fine in theory when you're months away from playing games. But the games eventually are going to come, and you the comfort of having a guy that you know you can count on, that is in the place he's supposed to be reliably and excellent and creating comfort for you with enough room to get the ball there that you're going to just go there. I'm just going to need to see it all take shape, and I'll believe that having Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir all catch 65 passes instead of having Diggs catch 120 is going to make me better. I don't know. I'm really concerned. We're way off here still, but who on this offense scares the defense? besides Allen. I mean, Allen has the arm and the legs to scare a defense all the time. But as far as people he's throwing the ball to, that you, oh boy, I can't handle this guy. I don't see that guy on this team right now.
Chris, thanks. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll be right back. Our guest today coming up in 20 minutes, Matt Verderam from SI. We'll talk about the Bills and the Chiefs trading with each other in the draft and how things went for both teams overall here. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog still going over the draft. I promise that we will eventually stop. I assure you we will eventually stop. Other things are happening, but it's still pretty recent and important. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. Good job.
Thanks.
Just an overall statement. I mean, how can anyone say that a draft is a failure for a team or it's good for a team? You can't even make that judgment.
You base it on process.
Yeah, I know, but you look at some of the magazines and stuff. Oh, Atlanta's got an F. They drafted Michael. How do you know that?
You don't know how he's going to do, but you, of course, I mean, it makes sense to draft a quarterback at 8 when you've spent $100 million on another one. What are you going to get out of the quarterback you've drafted? That they're grading it on process.
Okay, let me come back with that. What if this kid comes out and turns out to be really good? Then what?
Then he does. But then you've wasted the money. What's this scenario? He's not going to start the season. He's not going to play. Cousins is locked in there for 2 years. So you have taken the 8th overall pick on a division favorite and wasted it. You've burned it. Just in case what? In case Cousins, unless Cousins gets hurt and then he gets thrown in and maybe.
I guess my point is this. That it's something you can't tell any. You can't grade anybody. How can you grade anyone? The players haven't played yet.
Well, I've just told you 3 times. You're grading it on process, asset management.
Well, that's not real, though. That's never happened. So how can you prove that?
Well, I mean, you can. You want
to try to prove an unprovable?
No. Actually, it's not that. I mean, it's simple. If you want to invest $500 in a stock, you can pick any stock you want. And your buddy can't tell you whether you're right or wrong because it hasn't changed yet. It hasn't happened yet. But there are better choices than others. There are better investments than others. Maybe I'll be right. Maybe I'll win. Play the lottery. I mean, there's good and bad.
I'm saying is It hasn't happened yet, so you can't judge it and say it's good or bad. Period. There's no way
You have no use for my comparison. Like,
no,
if you,
it's not a good comparison. I love you guys. Don't get me wrong.
You can invest money in anything that there is to invest money in. It's all the same. It's all of the same caliber. It's all the same. It's all the same level of intelligence because we don't know how it's going to do.
Look at that's, we're talking about a draft, the football draft.
I know. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You don't know how the stock is going to do. You don't know how the player is going to do. So why even talk?
Okay.
Right?
All right. Anyway, I'll finish up. But I thought Bean did a great job, by the way. Great job.
How can you know? How can anybody say he did well? Well, you don't know how anybody's going to do. How can you? Seriously, Jim.
Your point here. Jim, your point here is nobody knows, but you think Bean did a good job.
Well, okay. Well, let me qualify. Let me come back. He did a good job. He got you under the cap. He got rid of players. He got draft picks up the wazoo. Come on. He did a great job. That's
you really don't understand how that's the same thing.
No, I don't get that. No,
you're not allowed to say, you're not allowed to be critical of a draft based on process, but you're completely at liberty to talk about how good it was just because of how many picks he got under the cap. He has to get under the cap.
Well, look, I thought he did a good job. That's my feeling.
All right,
okay,
good.
That from what I've seen,
but it is the same concept that you're complaining about. People complaining about other drafts. It's the same concept.
It's 100% the same thing.
Yeah, I see. You're right. You're absolutely right. But I guess that's just the frustration of watching this whole extravaganza play out. I was out of town watching it on TV. It's like people gathered around the bar watching this. It's like, come on. These are all like special team players. And come on. This is a little overdone, the whole Detroit thing. I thought it was really too overdone. That's all.
All right. Too much hype on the NFL draft.
Different point, but okay.
All right, Jim. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening, too. Glad you liked the show.
Come on. I mean, Dan Leberfeld is just like, it's just right as rain. Jets Confidential. Comes on our show all the time. He's just always right there to complain about draft grades. Lots of fans do it, too. Other people in the media, probably people who make fun of mock drafts and all, probably think it's too much interest. Just the same, you know? Why are we grading? What do you want to do? Like, Dan just now tweeted how he didn't name the grader, but somebody gave Puka Nacua a C last year. Like, how embarrassing. Somebody graded Puka Nacua a C, he points out. Like, for shame. All right, Dan, or anybody else, let's grade it now. How about A+, right? Would anybody not say A+? Well, what's the exercise in that? Who you don't need to know the first thing about football to do that. You look at a guy who was picked late, he broke records, that's an A, right? Isn't that obvious? Who needs anybody to do that? So what's the difference? I mean, one is better. One, at least, it is about process. How many players did you have at this position? How much draft capital did you have? Did you just spend $100 million 6 weeks ago on a quarterback? Like, these things are simple and easy concepts where you can tell if a team did better than another, I think, you know, and if you don't care about it, then that's fine. But I take great exception to that it's stupid or something. It's not stupid. It's actually how you get better at it. Because, you know, like, you and I are in the business of commenting on the Bills, and it's all about process. You really can't know. If you're like this guy, you're not allowed to say they did well. Because you have no idea.
Because they had
10 picks. Right. All the teams had about the same number of picks. That's the difference. That doesn't make any sense. You're not allowed to say they did well then.
Well, he is the guy in the caller's defense. I mean, the whole thing was pretty faulty, I think. But if the premise that Breen did well because he accumulated picks by trading down and getting extra shots at the bullseye, then okay, yeah, like that went well. How well he chose the players he chose, we have no idea. And the caller's first comment totally undoes any opportunity to try to do that, at least in his view. But yeah, you know, process, Breen traded down and got extra assets. So good, thumbs up.
Then there's the matter of, like, well, what are the assets, right? Like, what he got from the trades is he got a pick at the end of round 3, and then there was a little bit of movement on Saturday, which is probably not that big a deal. But I like trading down, you know that. All right. Thanks, Jim. Matt Verderam from SI coming up next. Yes, on the draft. That's true. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.